Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace. We thank this morning once again, Lord, in our gathering together. Blessed, O Lord, at this time now as you come to thy word. May you feed us, Father, in this rain. May the teaching rain, O Lord, at this time now open our understanding, Father, to the word of life, to know which we must soak in, Father, for the harvest time that shall come. We thank you, Father, at this time now again, your presence with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I just want to touch on and finish out this some question regarding the transient soul. Now let's recap a little bit that we know that Adam was made a triune being, a spirit, soul, and body. We always know about that. There was always this soul, spirit, and body. A body, soul, spirit, spirit, soul, body, spirit. But soul and body, whatever, whichever way you want to put it, is already this trying being that we are. But we must know that Adam was originally created a spirit. If we fail to see this, we will have a mess, you know, over this doctrine. That's, you know, why in the Trinitarian Church, because the believing of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and then the same thing when it comes to this man, body, soul, and spirit. And they want to separate all these things in such a way that, you know, try to find an answer for, but in the end they couldn't, and they came up with this doctrine that there's an eternal hellfire when a person dies. Immediately, if he's not a Christian, he's not a believer, he's not born again, his soul is cast into the lake of fire right now. There is a fire burning there, and he's screaming in hell right now. That is, if you have friends or great-grandfather or whatever, whoever they are not Christian, they died, they are now in the hellfire, crying out and screaming in pain. Now, because of this doctrine, now that is to let you know that this is a false doctrine to begin with. Because of this doctrine, we are at the opposite end of it. There are those, therefore, that believe that soul, when a person dies, he knows nothing, he's unconscious. The soul just sleep, that means he knows nothing, non-existent, that sort of a thing. You see? Because according to them, the spirit goes back to God, the soul goes back to God, and nothing. He just like it is far away, no consciousness, nothing. So they call it soul sleep, but now they come out and call it soul death. And that's a very strange thing that I've come across now that my friend who is opposed to what we believe therefore that he said, I no longer believe in soul sleep, I call it soul death. Now the question is that if a man who dies now and his soul is dead, so to speak, then how is it that the Bible says the soul that sinneth it shall die? And if it is so that when a man died, his soul died, why is it that he must come up again and die a second death in just fall? So he said, are you saying that the soul died twice? Non-existent, wake up and then go to death and non-existent again. So that is a question that I don't think that you can answer that biblically. Then because if you take something and you cause that thing to become cease or to disintegrate, to burn it to ash. You take a piece of wood, you burn the wood to ashes. You cannot go back to being a wood again. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that means that we know that death is the cessation of life. We're talking about the body. Right? Okay? So when the Bible says the soul that sinned it shall die. Okay, first we know that the soul, when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, the day that they sinned against the Lord, they died. They died, what death here means actually a separation from God. That means now man cannot approach God directly. That's the reason why there must be a mediator between God and that man is Christ Jesus. You understand that? So when the day that Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, death set such in because the veil that covers Adam and Eve's innocency were lifted up. That veil is the word of life. That veil was lifted. And like today we have, as Christians were born again, we have that veil. We have the spirit of life that veiled us. To quicken us. That's why we have this life. Do you understand that? You see, So we can now approach God because what Christ has done for us already. You see, so if those who have an enemy sin against the Lord, they have separated him from God. Is that right? And then also on that particular day, their body begins to die and decay, growing old and then passed away. So every one of us in this physical body will have to die. And when the body dies, it turns back to dust. Is that right? It will turn back to dust. You see? So what happens to that soul and that spirit? So we need to have always remember, always go back to the beginning, that when God created Adam, he was created a spirit. Now, on Friday we have a discussion. Sister Lucy was asking about, since that Adam was created in the image of God, was it not also that Eve, was not Eve created in the image of God? You know, so, you know, the thing is that our mind, automatically, as I said this before, we always differentiate between the man and the woman. Okay? But we don't think that the term, when we talk about the term male and female, automatically we think that male is a man, female is a woman. Is that right? That is not true, huh? I hope you all understand what I'm talking about. When I say a male, does it mean there is a man? For all you know, I'm talking about a dog. So a male is not a man. A male is the definition of what the spirit is that right? You understand what I'm saying? So if you walk down the street, you see a transvestite. Now you have a problem whether there's a male or female. Isn't it? You see? So when we talk about male and female, we're not talking about man or woman. Because that's, you know, why I ask this question. How many does it take to reproduce? How many does it take to reproduce? Do you remember the question some of you often have forgotten? How many does it take to reproduce? The answer to many people, they always say two. Two. Because to this day, we all know it takes male and a female, a man and a woman, a male dog, a female dog, and so on. You see, but the answer is not two, the answer is one. Go back to the beginning and you see the answer there. And that's why it's important when you study doctrine, go back to the beginning. The denomination refused to learn that. That's why they pick it up from Matthew 28:19, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. From there, they go back to the beginning and they get themselves messed up because God is not three. God is merely one. And one cannot be Father, Son, Holy Ghost in one. This is what the traditional churches have made a mess. That's the way it's so important that in the message God gives us to come back and learn. Go back to the original. Go back to the very beginning and start from there. Before there was anything, there was just merely God. No God. There was no God. There was a spirit. And that spirit is not called God until God, until he creates something to worship him, then become God. Otherwise, it's just a spirit. And even then, the spirit cannot be three spirits inside him, can it? There cannot be three spirits of Father, Son, Holy Ghost inside him, is it? There was no Father, there was no Son, there was no Holy Spirit. Just Holy Spirit, so to speak. It's just a spirit. And then God has given us this common thing in the Bible that tells us all this. But because of our education, our academy, our intellectual study in theological school, we come up with all this definition. Alright? And we can't do that. Go back to the beginning. There was only one spirit. He created the whole heaven and the earth. Is that right? You see, then when he created Adam. Now as you all know, he created Adam differently from all the animals. All the animals were caught directly from the earth. A male dog, female dog, male cat, a female cat, and so on. But when it comes to man, it's different. The Bible said, God said, let us create man in our own image. And after our likeness. Now he's not talking to the Father, is not talking to the Son, the Holy Spirit. The denomination will tell you that. The word ask is talking about to the angels. You ask the Jew will tell you that. And he's also emphatically, okay, God is magnifying himself in that form. Let us. You understand what I mean? You're going to say anything, anyone could say to a group of people, not us. But the people may not do the job. So when God created man, he created man for the spirit. Then he built dust. And you know what it is? Actually, we are from dust and we have make up a certain carbon, hydrogen, things like that. Okay? And then God put the spirit into this body of dust and then became a living soul. So Adam was in the image of God, male and female, but then God took out from the man the feminine spirit. So the question is, was Eve in the image of God? Of course, she was, because she was part of that. That was our man. Here we are as a church of the living God. We are the body of Christ. Amen? So we came from the side of Jesus Christ, isn't that right? At the cross. Remember, when he was pierced, where the blood came from. From the side of Adam, God took a woman, the spirit, the feminine spirit, out and formed a bride for Adam. From the side of Jesus Christ, same thing happened at Calvary. God took that out and formed the church. You see? So when we are formed into the church, so we are part of the image of Christ, isn't it so? So we need to understand this thing. So when we realize the original, remember that Adam was created a spirit, not a body, not even a soul is yet, because soul is just a word that means it's a manifesting the nature of the spirit. So when the spirit of Adam was put into the body, the Bible called him a living soul. Otherwise, if Adam was in the spirit world with all the angels, what living soul is there to manifest on this earth? Nothing. It's all in another dimension, not on this dimension that we are on now. Because God created her, he wanted to make man to dress this earth. So then now man became a living soul. He's manifesting the life of the spirit he was created in. That is the nature of God. Alright? So when the body dies, it's not speaking of the soul. Do you understand? The Bible said that the soul of sinner, it shall surely die. You see? We know it will surely die. Because if you sin against the Lord, you don't have redemption, you don't accept redemption, then you will die. But the body will know, no matter how, the body will die. Alright? And the Bible said, dust thou art. Remember God said that, dust thou art to Adam. Dust thou shalt return. That is not speaking of the soul. For dust was the body of Adam. It wasn't the soul of Adam. Remember this. So dust thou shalt return was not spoken of the soul. That is so true, the word as people define it. It's talking about the body. So this, we want to realize this, alright? The body is only merely the house that Adam lives in. So we have this house, this body. So I want you to turn to the book of Genesis 2 rather. Many people get mixed up on this because of the word that they do not realize and how to define that. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There are three things I need to know. God, the word, three words here. Breathe. Breathe into his nostril. What? Breathe. One, nostril. Two, breath of life. Now all these three words came from the same related word to the word nephesh. Alright? Which means the breath of life. Okay? Breathe. The breath of life. And also what it says, nostril. This is where we breathe, through our nostril. So only animals with nostril, only animals that have nose that breathe through nose, are always using this word. The soul of the animal, the soul of the elephant, the soul of the cow, and all this. The breath of life through the nostril, through a hole, any opening that you breathe. The plant does not have that. Doesn't have a nostril. Okay? The plant only synthesizes. You understand? So when we talk about the breath of life, the animal also have the breath of life. Chapter 7, verse 22. Genesis chapter 7, verse 22. You see the word here? And all flesh in whose nostril was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. So, if you ask me, does anyone have a soul? The question always been, if you ask any denominational Christian, we have been taught wrongly. They will tell you animals do not have souls. That's not true. Animal themselves is a living soul. Because they also breathe through the nose. God has given them the life. You get it? That's what it is. The living soul.
But the animals, the only thing we must remember, that the animals, they were not created in the image of God. Just remember this. Man was created in the image of God, not the animals. That's why we are unique. You see what I'm talking about? But again, as you say this, if men are so unique, why are we suffering today? Remember this, the Bible says the soul of the sinner, it shall die. The animals, did they sin? Did they sin against God? Then why did they die? Then why do they die? Why do the animals die today? The Bible says the soul of the sinner, it shall die. The only soul that sin against God is the man. What's the man? Adam and Eve, they sin against God. Not the animal. Why then did the animal die? The only soul or soul. The dog is a living soul. The animal is a living soul. But they were not created in the image of God, remember? They were created directly from the dust. So when they die, they go back to the dust. The spirit of life that God given them will come back to God. Because they were not created in the image of God to live forever. You understand? But for man, it is different. Man being that we are created in the image of God, God have a deal with us in the spirit. So right now, I ask you this question. We are this body. The Bible says this, that Paul said, we are made a little lower than the angel. Right? What do you mean by make a little lower than the angel? We're this realm, angelic realm. Then here we are, men. Correct? A little lower than the angel. Well, because the angel in spirit form, they don't suffer like we do. Huh? They can go wherever they want, they can move around at super speed as they want to move around. But here we are bound by this three-dimensional space. Three-dimensional sphere. We will say that. Environment. We are locked in. So, we will make a little lower than the angel. Why? For what purpose? You see, it was God's purpose. To make man a little lower than the angel and let them suffer. Oh yes. You say, brother, you're telling me that God makes us suffer? Oh yes. Did you not hear the Bible that God says, I made both good and evil? Is that right? Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 tells us that. Right? That God permitted this fall. He permitted Adam and Eve to sin, but He didn't force them to sin. Not willingly. He never forced them. He knows when God created them. He knows the end from the beginning. He has a purpose, a plan. So He had created an environment that He knew that Adam and Eve would come to that state. And yet the Bible tells us this. Adam was not in the transgression. Is that right? Because Adam as one who was created in the image of God can never sin. That's the reason why God had to take a woman out from Adam. Why did not God create Eve like the way He created Adam? Okay, that was the question that was asked on Friday. Assuming this, that we have God create man in His own image. Okay, here was a man in His God image. Here was another one in His own image. So, what do you have? A woman? You understand? Maybe you're having two. The animal, they are male or female. Direct creation. But God cannot do that when it comes to the man. We are created in His image. So, if God created us in His image, remember there's always a seed. Huh? God will always create a seed. But in the animal, you have male or female, so they can come together and be one and produce. But in the human, in this mankind, we are created in the image of God. Because in God, everything that God sowed, there's only one seed. What do you mean by all the trees that we have today? When God created this mango, we have these mangoes around. But originally, there's only one mango seed. Just one mango seed. But how come there are so many varieties? There's only one pair of dogs. How come there are so many varieties? You understand? The chicken. Okay? I mean, chicken is different from turkey. Don't forget that. Alright? So, God only created only one what seed, as far as the plant are concerned, you take the seed. So in the same way, God is you, when He created man in His own image, in His image, He had only one seed. And we know in the Bible that one particular seed was actually Jesus Christ, right? Remember, the only begotten Son of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, the Word was that seed of God. But before Christ ever came into the world, God wanted to have a family. And He reversed the whole process. Instead of bringing Christ in and produce, He brought man first and along the fall. So that in the end of it, what will happen to your body? What will happen to your body? We are made a little lower than the angel. The Bible said when we wait for the redemption of our body, right? What will happen to this body? It will be the same as Jesus Christ. Remember, we will have a glorified, a spiritual body. Now that body therefore will be higher than the angel. No more, even lower than the angel, it will be above the angel. Because in that body of Jesus Christ, now possessed, He can walk through a wall, right? He can go anywhere He wants at super speed, just a thought, just like that. Right? And He can eat and fellowship. You can shake His hand, you can hug Him, and at the same time He can walk through walls. But the angel cannot do that. The angel cannot eat because they are spirit. Unless they appear in the form of a body, a man. Okay? A theophany. Appear as God would allow them. Angels cannot do anything anyhow they want to. You see. So their body is different from ours then when our body are redeemed. You follow me so far? Okay? So what we see is that when God created Adam, He said, only create one. Man, only one. He cannot create two because if there are two, how do you work? How does it work? You see that? There will not be any four. There cannot be any four. Because if any original creation cannot sin. Not possible for the Son of God to sin against God. The Bible teaches that. Not possible. The original can never sin. That's true. So that's the reason why when God created mankind, He created one man, one Adam. From Adam's side, He took out the feminine. God did not create a feminine direct as He would create this one. So He took out from Adam's side a woman, the feminine spirit, and make a woman. Now this being a byproduct, this is how that God said this one can be deceived and sin. That's why Eve fell into this trap. She fell into the trap and she was in the transgression, as Paul said. Not Adam. Adam knew what he was doing, had to redeem Eve. So when redeemed Eve, so therefore of course the blame always fall upon the man. God knew that this thing would happen. So in the end result then, God will send His only begotten Son, you know, for propitiation for sin and bring this whole thing to a close. Now you might think about why is it so complicated? Why does God allow all these things to be? Why? Why doesn't He just create everybody perfect? You know? And I say always, they just think about it. We all create perfect. We know what is right and wrong, what is sin, you know, what righteousness, what is night, what is day, and things like that. Then we do not know how to appreciate. And certainly God does not want every one of us to be a robot. Either you love God with a self, you know, desire to love Him and worship Him. Or if you don't, then He doesn't want it. He doesn't want a bunch of us to be a robot, wake up every morning and then start praising God in the morning and then look at, okay, 12 o'clock, time for prayer, we go do the same thing, 5 times a day we do this. God does not want robots. That's why the angels are not robotic. They all went through trials and testing to remember before Adam and Eve was created. And that's the reason why we have 1/3 of the angel failed. And now those that passed, they continue to worship God willingly. And so the same thing. If you love God, you worship Him willingly. As long as sometimes we as Christians is the same, I said this is our attitude towards God. What is our attitude towards God? Towards serving Him, towards coming to fellowship and things like that, they are important. Because it tells us who, what we are, really inside. Where is our desire? Okay? So now let's go on to the first Thessalonians to show you here that when the bread of God was given to Adam, the body of Adam, man became a living soul. First Thessalonians chapter 5, here we have this verse that to show that we, you know, the difference between the soul and the body. Second, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved unto blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see the three words there? Spirit, soul, and body. So that's the reason why the soul is the soul, the body is the body, the spirit is the spirit. The spirit is the spirit of life. Got it? And when God was created the spirit. They put the spirit into the body of death, it became a living soul. And they saw that for the manifestation. So the soul and the body, they always tied together. Okay? You can't separate them. The only thing is that you only see the meaning. The soul means it manifests the spirit. Okay, right now, if your soul has been redeemed, if your soul has been born again, it is because the spirit is born again, we will say. Not that the soul is born again. The Bible says the spirit is quickened. God quickened our spirit. Remember, in other words, sinners. They don't know God, they know nothing about God. It is the spirit of God that quickened the spirit to realize that you are a sinner. And now you need to repent. Now you need a savior. So once your spirit is quickened, you are born again. Alright? So once you are born again, what happened to you? Now, your life is changed. So when people look at you, hey, you are changed. Why? That's because now your soul is manifesting the life of God that is given to you. Because His spirit has quickened your spirit. Do you get it? That's what the Bible says. Paul said, you need the weakness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, we know without our spirit that we are the Son of God. So that is, you know why, the only difference is, one is what you already are, because you are created in God's image. Only that, because when you are born sinner, we don't know God, the Spirit is dead. When the Spirit of God comes and quickens this spirit, then it becomes alive. Now we are manifesting God, because that's the soul. Soul is manifesting the life of God in us. You got it? And the body, we still have this body. This is a rotten body. Nothing good. Feel a lot of pain. Because these are all these senses and all the nerve and everything. This body is just a house. Like in your house, if your wire is bitten by cockroaches or rats, and your light goes out. Okay? And then if the wall is cracking up and you don't seem at it and you get a wound in the wall, in the hole, in the wall, you know, it's just like a wound in the body. Okay, if you don't touch it up, the holes get bigger and bigger, and your wound in the body is the same thing. If you don't do anything, then it gets bigger and bigger. And this body is rotten, just like a building can rot. And this body is never to be perfected in their form. So when the body dies, okay, the body dies, goes back to dust, and the soul goes somewhere. The spirit is what you are. And the body with the spirit and the soul are tied together. Only the life that we live now, we breathe through the nostril. When we die, this sees. We cannot breathe anymore. So he said that the spirit is taken back. Huh? Or the spirit is gone from you. The spirit of life is gone from you. So because of all this, what you say in the Bible that we talk, that you can read often, people just get confused over it. The expression, the figure of speech many times in the Hebrew, people take the word spirit and give it a definition without realizing that sometimes the word cannot be used in that particular way. You see? Alright? So let us continue and then go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. Here again, you can see the separation of the word. Matthew 10, 28. And fear not that which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So you see the difference in this one now? Don't fear him who can kill your body but not the soul. Of course that's what Satan will do. He will kill your body. We can kill it. No, he has no right to kill the soul. Only God would take the soul and kill it. Right? So fear him. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Actually, so why in that? When all those dead were resurrected, okay, the soul will come back together with the body and then cast into the lake of fire and put out forever. Annihilation. They don't suffer forever and ever. And some people will tell you about the eternal life, eternal hell, fire, everything. So now you can see the word that there is a difference between the soul and the body. The body is the body is not the soul. Alright, so people always tell you that the body is the soul. Because why they say, the Bible says, the soul is sinner, you shall die. Therefore, you are a sinner, you die, you need to die. That's your soul. That's not true. Yeah, I'm walking around and I'm getting rejoiced, right? This is their soul expression, right? You understand what I'm saying? My soul rejoices. Yeah, it's a rejoice, not the body, you know? The body cannot rejoice. If this body is dead, it cannot rejoice. It's the soul, the spirit, that is rejoicing. We need to differentiate that. Alright. Okay, let's go on and see the word of Psalm 16:10. Here is the book of Psalm 16:10, King David's son. He said that, thou will not leave my soul in hell. So you see the word, thou will not leave my soul in hell. And then, it's second part here, it says, neither would thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. So you know, there's two different words, right? Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Hell, the word hell, of course, is soul, sure. Okay, it's sure. Okay? Thou will not leave my soul in hell. So that's a very bad translation of King James. But if you say hell, well, the moment when you think of hell, what do you think of? Fire burning. But that's a very bad thing. In the Greek word is Hades. Okay? It also means soul, actually, a person of the departed dead. You see, for the soul. Alright? And then he says the second part, let the Holy One see corruption. The Holy One to see corruption. What does the Holy One see corruption? He's talking about the body. Remember, Jesus Christ was called the Holy One? Yes or no? He was the one who was born to this world sinless, right? So he was the Holy One, the body. And his body, God, as King David said, God will not let the Holy One, the Holy Body of Christ, see corruption. Where was that body? It was in the tomb. Sepulchre. Hebrew. So if it is in the sepulchre, your body is put in the earth or in the tomb, what happened to the body? You would see corruption, right? After 72 hours, it depends on the weather, actually the cold it is, you will not corrupt so fast because of the cold. Okay, but when the body is at the right temperature, warm and all this humid and watery, that's the time the maggot really work very fast. Is that right? Okay? So if it is treated by the time it is so treated, it would have already gone. So the Bible said, thou will not suffer the Holy One to sin. So he's talking about one, the soul that is in hell. Two, the body. It will not see corruption. So the soul does not see corruption. How can the soul corrupt in itself? Can't. It's the body to corrupt. So he pointed to two different places. You know, and the soul sleep will always, the doctrine of the soul sleep will try to, they have reason to do away with that somehow. Alright, so when Jesus died, where was he? Now, that's an interesting point. Now, my friend believes that soul sleep. Okay, when you die, You don't know anything. It means for 10 years, 20 years that the earth passed by, you know nothing. In the other dimension, you know nothing. You are not conscious. That's all. Soul sleep belief. They call it soul death now. If that is so, I need to ask this question. I would have probably should have asked my friend this question. He's a Trinitarian after all. And you would have a hard time trying to answer this question. If he believes in Trinity, that is to say that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed. They are always eternal. There are three gods in one. Which of course we know is quite foolish because we don't have that in the Bible. If it is so, that the second person of the Godhead, whom they call Son of God, Say, okay, I want to come to earth, become a man. Okay, he came to earth, he became a man, and then he died on the cross and he was buried. What happened to his spirit? If he is unconscious, he knows nothing, right? If so, let him sleep. If you die now, you are unconscious, you know nothing. That means for those times when Jesus was in the grave, what will happen to his spirit? After all, his spirit is supposed to be eternal, right? Supposed to be conscious then. What was he then? You are getting my drift? What was he then? You see, that's not what the soul's doctrine is, the opposite of the soul that died in hellfire. Because they know, my friend, you just feel that, you know, it's terrible to believe. Are you telling me after all this year of apostles that we were together in the Pentecostal church? The Pentecostal church believed that when a man dies, he goes to hell, burn. Then after that, come up to judgment, he causes things with hellfire, and burn again. Okay? So he cannot accept that because he has friends, he has relatives who are not Christian, who died. So he cannot accept that they are suffering now. Of course, we don't believe they are suffering in fire. Okay? But therefore, they have to come up with a doctrine. This is always the problem. Okay? In all these different denominations, they have to come up with something that justifies what they want to believe. Like the man I told you about, this email that you read, right? He has to defend something to make himself feel better, as he said. Feel good. You know? So, they came out, of course, with this soul sleep thing. So now, soul is not conscious. Spirit is not conscious. He met Jesus Christ all the time when he was dead, he's unconscious. Do you believe that God is eternal? He was, is, and always will be. He's the only one. Because by they believe in three, but let them have the three. And if one of them became a man, what happened to his spirit? What happened to his spirit? Huh? That's a question one asks, right? What happened to the soul of Christ? You know? Did he cease? Was he unconscious all the time when he was in the grave? So this has been really, it's very intriguing for them to really think about it and figure that out. So we all know, we know this. When Adam died, his body returned to the dark, his spirit returned to another, his spirit went to another dimension. Now we don't know about this dimension until Brother Abraham came along and gave us the understanding. Right? There are so many dimensions. Now many times, you know, Brother Abraham, of course, he being a being that he was a prophet, he had visions of the different realms. So when you talk about the seventh dimension, I think it's so wonderful. Here we are living in a three-dimension world, right? The fourth dimension is where the spirit is moving. Angels are moving, good and bad, they are moving. The fifth dimension is where the wicked deeds are. They are held up in that fifth dimension. Okay? The sixth dimension was once upon a time together with the fifth. It was known as Sheol. But now Christ, when he died, he went into the center of the earth, right? Went to the hearts of the earth and took away the righteous within. Lifted them up, ascended up into heaven, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. Descended and then he ascended up. Right? So when he now let's go and read Ephesians 4. Let me just pick up that. Go to Ephesians 4. Alright, let's read here. Verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lowest part of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, right? Now, Jesus, Paul said about you. He said, now, he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. So before Christ ascended to the Father, when he died, the first thing he didn't go up, you know, He went down first. Right? He went down first. Because after all, souls has to go down first. But he went down to preach to the soul in prison, as Peter was saying in his epistle. And then he took all the righteous and then ascended up. Is that right? And so now Brahman used this and said that these righteous they are in the sixth dimension. And the seventh dimension is where God is. Now, sometimes of course people say, show me a scripture where it is. Because you know, people write, show me a scripture where it is. There are many places you don't have to be able to see scripture, but you need to look at what the Bible said and see whether it makes sense to you. You understand? Just the denomination said this, you know. I can show you the Bible that there are three gods, three persons in one God. But they didn't know where Joel, Isaiah, prophesied that there is one God and there is no one. I am one and there is no other. Is that right? They didn't know it completely. So you need to be able to keep a balance on the scriptures and have a revelation, understand what the Bible actually is trying to tell you. Okay? Alright. Let me just finish up with that. Okay, now, let me say this. Every one of you here sitting here, you all have a brain. Right? So, when we do our work, whatever we do every day, is because the brain commands it. Is that right? Yes? You analyze, synthesize, whatever you want to call that. Okay? Break down your data, whatever. It's all in the mind. It's all in this brain up here. You all know that, don't you? Sure, you walk down after the service, you go down to the mall, food court. Oh my, this one smells good. So you follow your nose, your brain to follow the smell with the nose. And your leg will move to where you are supposed to go and you say, ah, this is nice, wonderful, Kantong laksa, whatever it is. So you all have the board of laksa and you enjoy with your taste bud and your senses, your feeling, feels good. Right. So you have your imagination, your study and all this. But do you know that my friend says that this is where all our activity is? I agree as far as this body is concerned. Right? But it said, therefore, it says, when you die, therefore you know nothing. Because your brain is dead, everything is dead. I beg your pardon. You see, it is not the brain that has all this. The soul is what is controlled by the imagination, our conscience, our memory, our reasoning, and our affection. The five things. Imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. This is what controls the soul. This is what the soul has. All this intellect, all these things are inside. The physical brain has no intelligence. There's no conscience. There's no emotion. And so on. Not the physical brain. You know that, don't you? Yes. If you got an accident, let's say you got an accident or something hit you on the head. What's your name? My brother Michael. What's your name, my brother? You got hit on the head. Huh? I said, what's your name? Can you tell me your name? You know, he can't even know anything. You know what I mean? The brain, some brain is already knocked out. It's damaged. And I always liken unto this. The brain is nothing. It's only nothing but a computer. Right? But the soul with all the intellect and everything, the spirit with all the intellect, is the what we call the hard data, which is stored in the chip. Okay? So if your computer is malfunctioned, maybe something wrong with the hard disk, it goes out, you have your transistor blow it up, okay? It sits there, nothing works. Can you say your data is lost in the chip? No, it's still there in the chip. All you have to do is fix your transistor, you know, fix your hard disk, put a new one, and then you put it out. Hey, presto, Microsoft, Windows 7 appear. And whatever you want to run is there. So, see, the brain is just like a computer, circuitry. the wiring and everything gets shot, it's gone. But that which is stored up is in the chip. So the same thing what we have, the emotion, everything, the affection, it's all stored up in the soul. The soul, the sinner shall die. You can stand before judgment. I don't know you, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I'm a sinner, I never know you. I rejected you, blah, blah, blah. It's all there, you cannot lie. Your memory will still be there. So when you die, the memory does not go away because it's in the soul, it's not in the body, not in the brain. And that's what Brother Ben meant us to know. That's what makes it so different for us. When you come to understanding the revelation of God, we know that it's true. You see. Huh? And one of the witch of Endor called up by Samuel. Samuel knows who he is, you see. Sure. You know. You'll be able to recognize when you go over to that side. Should you die now? You cross over to that side and you see someone that you know, you know. You know who they are because your memory is still intact. But your body, your brain is all rotting on this earth. Your soul don't rot away. The soul goes to the next dimension you are supposed to go. Alright. So I always ask my friend, he said that only the brain has all this intelligence, emotion. I said, okay. If you say the brain only has the intelligence, does God have a brain? Think about it. God is spirit, right? Does God have a brain? He's not human. He's not having a physical body like this. Not physical. He doesn't have a brain. So does God have an intellect? Does he have emotion? Does he have reasoning? Does he have passion? Yes. So it is not the brain. As of my friend, with all the soul sleep, all this doctrine that comes in, he's still so sure that he's right and we are wrong. Of course, denomination is wrong in the interpretation because when you die, you go to hell. You're not a sinner. If you're not a Christian. You see? Because of that, don't fight any other truth. Just because you want to justify what you believe. It is the spirit. Okay? They have all this quality. The intellect, the reasoning, the conscience, the passion. Oh yes. You see, in my heart, right now, your spirit, you're Christian now. You're born again. When you worship God in spirit and in truth, right? The Bible did not say you worship God in spirit, and in body and truth. Now, a lot of people go to church, you know, in the body, of course. They listen, and they go by, they feel good, you know, but that's the body, okay. Because you're not really born again. When you're born again, your spirit, look at what King David said in his Psalms. How is the emotion when he was stirred up to worship God? I was glad when he said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. My soul panted after thee like a hawk after the water. Isn't that right? And so on and so forth. You see, it is the inside, not this brain up here. Okay, let us go to Psalms 42, verse 1 to 3. Psalms 42, 1, 2, and 3. As the soul, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? You see, this is what King David said. It's about the soul. My soul panted after God. Right? And then, of course, the book of Revelation, you can see over in Revelation 6:9, where the vision of John said, I saw the souls under the altar. And then Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, the souls that were beheaded. Right? John did not see the body, he's talking about the soul. Because the soul is the essence of life, not the body. The soul is inert, inherent in our being. Because we were created in the image of God. Or we'll say that Adam from the beginning was created in the image of God anyway. Alright. Romans chapter 8, 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 13.
But God commanded His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. You see, this is where we have this problem when we become a Christian. The black dog and the white dog issue. When you're not a Christian, you're a sinner, you do anything you want, you have no conscience. Right? I steal, I lie, you know, I cheat, whatever. There's no conscience. But when you are a Christian, you have a quickening power of God, the Spirit. They will always be with you to teach you. You do something wrong, the Spirit of God will tell you, this is wrong. You see? But again, there is always this carnal man, the fleshly sight, because we are, you see, we are living in this world where we see what we see with these five senses. And it's affecting us. But the spiritual man that is born again is being affected by the Word of God. So, your inside, the white man that is pure, the man that is holy, is fighting against the nature that this body is. Because we came to this world, what is sin? So there's no good thing in this body. As you know why, in this body we have the serpentine nature. What happened in the garden? Remember? He fornicated with the serpent. And this is why all men today came or born, because our blood contains that gene. As you know why Jesus Christ had to shed His blood to clean it. But because it's still there in this inherent body, there's always this fight. The physical senses, natural senses, again the spiritual sense. And so Paul talks about mortify the body. When there was no sin, I don't know sin, I commit sin, I don't know what is it. But now that I know what sin is, because the law tells me that these are sins and this is death, so now when I commit something wrong, the Spirit will tell me. So that's what Paul says, to mortify the body. And Paul said, I die every day. So the body and the spirit, they are two different things. The body is not the soul. The soul is not the body. Alright. So now, the other question is, when I asked earlier on, when Jesus died, where was He? Alright? And I said this, He went down to Sheol. Okay? Take the righteous up into paradise. Let all those unrighteous below. You understand? Now, where are they now? They are in paradise. But the question comes in right now. Three men that we know in the Bible. Enoch, he was translated. Right? He was raptured. Elijah was sin. Also was raptured. Moses died. Right? And the devil contained over the body of Christ. Is that right? I mean, over the body of Moses. And then he was rebuilt by, the angel Michael over the body. What happened to the body? Apparently God resurrected the body and also went. So these three men, where are they today? Where are they today? The Bible didn't tell you why, where they are. Yeah, the only one place they can go that we always call it paradise. That's all. Whether you are in the soul body or in the spiritual body, you have to go to a place called paradise. Now you ask me, how is it like over that side? I don't know, because I haven't been there. You understand? Only one thing we know, that there are people who have seen visions of it. Right? Huh? Like John. I mean, how many people had been to heaven and come back? Now you read probably some testimony of people, you know, you can buy it in bookshop. So don't believe them all, huh? Many of these people are just making money. They are Christian, I tell you, they are lying to make money. Some of them I read, I said, this is all nothing but fantasy. They just want to make money. There are a lot of crooked, charismatic preachers out there, I can tell you that. You know? But Brother Branham has seen that other side. Remember? He has seen that other side. And he just said it was so peaceful, so nice. And he did describe all these things that these people claim to have been there. Oh, so the street was of gold, you know? And there was river pure as crystal, you know, things like that. Not listen to all that, because
When you go to heaven, there's no such thing as a mention for you. Huh? It's not a mention, huh? The mention that God is giving to us is the Theophany body, is that slice of body. The body that we will be changed to. Not a literal body. I mean, not a literal house, I mean a mansion. Where you have a 10 room, 20 rooms, and whatever room. How many rooms do you want? You know, all this stuff. That's all the nonsense what the man said that, I go to me then, I show me my mansion exactly what I want. I always wanted a mansion with a fountain in front of the driveway. Wow. Imagine that, what a carnal thing that he's talking about. They're not real. Even Brother Brown said, when he met the daughter of Sharon who died when he was young, I don't know how old was, 5 or 7 years old. And then when he went over there, he saw this vision, and there were so many people, he remembered some of them. He ever came, this young girl, you know, young lady, and called him Danny or something, I think, and he said, who are you? He said, I'm Sharon Rose. Was it not? You know? He said, you know, of course, when you die young, over that side, you're not young. You're not a little baby, a little kid. The mature age, everyone will appear, will be around 30 years old. That's a prime age. Alright, Barakani, when you go over there, Sister Agi, when you go over there, you will not be like that. White hair and boarding or whatever it is. You know, we'll all be looking young. We'll all be around the age of 30 years old. That's a prime age. When God created Adam, he was not a little baby. Adam was not an old man. He was a prime age man, 30 years old, and would not have died if there was no sin. That's the kind of body. So those dimensions are real. So now, where was Moses, Elijah, and they were there in paradise. Only that we don't know how they appear, in what way, you know, how they move about, what is there, I don't know. The only for sure, let us end up with these few verses, Job 19:26. Job 19:26. Now we read about this, often about it, and of course, people talk about the hellfire and things like that. Misinterpreting something, but let's go to Job 19 verse 26, and it says here, and though out of my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And then over in verse chapter 21 verse 26, they shall lie down in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. Acts 12, chapter 12, verse 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord spoke him after he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the goats. Psalms 22, verse 6. Psalms 22, verse 6. I'm a worm and no man. A reproach of man and despise of the people. Isaiah 66, 24. We'll see how fast you can turn to your Bible. This is what we call draw your sword. How far as you would draw your sword to defend yourself. Alright, 66 verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the man that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Mark 9, verse 44. Mark 9, we read 38 to 55, rather. Mark 9, 38. And John said, John answered and saying, Master, we saw one casting a devil in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, that believe in me, it is better for him that the millstone were hanged by his neck, and he was cast into the sea, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life, meaning, than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall that never shall be quenched, where their worm doth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter half into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell fire, then they never shall be quenched. Where your worm lie, thou not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where your worm doth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be sorted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be sorted with salt. Salt is good, but the sword of Lord is saltiness. Wherewith were ye seasoned? Have salt in yourself and have peace. What we done now? So what Christ is speaking about? Of course, you know this is talking about the conscience. The thing that we should do and the thing that we do will always be remembered. Jesus did not say, I want eyes against you, pluck it out. In order for you to go into eternal life, at least one eye, you know. The one eye man in the eternal hell, I mean eternal life. That's kind of fire, funny, isn't it? Or if your arm, one arm, no, offend you, cut it off. So go to eternal life with one arm. Everybody got two arms, you got one arm. Oh my. This is not what the Bible is talking about. It's talking about, you see, the conscience of doing what is right. You see somebody need a cup of water, give them a cup of water. Is that right? You see, somebody needs something, give it to him. If you know that your body, certain part of your body is sinning against it, stop doing it. Remember. Because this is something that, as the Bible said, when you go on to the other side, as even all the scripture read, I will. The worm will not die. The fire will not be quenched. It is when you die, what happened to your soul? Everything that you have done on this earth is in memory. It's in memory. When you go to that place, if you are a sinner going to that place called Seol, down in the fifth dimension, you will be there. There's no fire burning you because you are a soul. You won't feel by the fire there. It won't affect you at all. Because natural fire in your soul is not natural. It's spiritual. So what it is, the worm that thou not is, that like a worm is a conscience, it is digging into you, fire that will not quench, it's the conscience that also bothering you. You know what conscience is? It's like a worm that born into you, and it's just that fire that's hitting you. You will be thinking about why didn't I do what I should do? The simple thing in life, why do I ignore it? You will be there having this conscience, bothering you. Not that there is a fire burning to try to destroy you, no. Because in this life, the parable of the rich man, he had everything. Right? Sure, he enjoyed life, nothing. Now the poor man Lazarus, I don't know how many times he walked past, he spit on him, they have perhaps. You know, when he begged for him for some little, you know, pieces of bread, crumbs, he said, no, go and find your own self, and things like that. Maybe he just cursed him off. But when he drinks and dies, what happened? He sits in a place, he goes to this dimension. Now he realizes all these things that he had done. That's what the conscience is. It's going to gnaw into you, he will not die. But my friend would say, you see, how long will he go on? Let me tell you this, my friend. The Bible said, one day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. Is that right? And 1,000 years is as one day. Yes or no? So it depends on what you are looking at. If you wanted to have, you want to enjoy your holiday, huh? You enjoy holiday, right? You go out, spend 1 week, you come back, not enough, lah. So not enough, because when you want to enjoy everything, 1 year is also not enough. You want an island, a paradise all by yourself, with all the servants, everything served, prepared for you. All you do is serving and fishing and whatever you're doing. That's not enough, isn't it? But when you are suffering, 1 day is like how many years? Right now, you see, that is the comparison. But you know one thing? If you go into hell, and you die now, you go into Seol. Okay, the English word we use hell, but not as hell is, that's Hades. You just go to that place. And you may be waiting for 20 more years before he stands before judgment. Now 20 years you spend there, it could just be one day. Because in there is no timing. Eternity has no time. Don't you know? In God there is no time. How do you quantify time? You can't. Here we are always conscious of time. But eternity there is no time. You don't, there is no clock. Then in heaven there is no clock for you to look at that. And ask God what time is it, ask the angel what time is it now? Time for tea. It won't be anything like this. There's no time, there's just eternity. So when you are there, you can sit down and you think all these things that's going on to you. Next moment, pop, you stand in judgment. You understand that? But that moment there'll be enough time for you to, oh my, feel all this regrets, so to speak. That the thing you should do, you didn't do. The thing that you should accept to be the truth, you reject it. You should accept Christ. I heard this gospel so many times. Why did I reject it? You know, my friend was praying for me and so on, and heard the gospel, I've been to the church, I've been to church, this and that. My neighbors is a Christian, talk to me about Jesus. Why did I reject it? You know, all these things will bother you. But you are not in hell, in hellfire. Only when you stand up in the last day before the Lord, and then you give an account of your life, and your name is not written in the book of life, then the Bible says, your body and soul will be cast into the lake of fire and be burned and annihilated. And let me tell you this. Don't look at eternal hell fire, the lake of fire as a literal fire. Because if you are a soul, how does a literal fire burn your soul? You understand that? You understand? If that lake of fire is there literally, you only burn your body. You understand that? So what could destroy your soul? Only God has the power to destroy your soul. It's not the fire. What fire would that be? It's the consuming fire of the Word of God. As God brings forth creation, right? By His Word. Correct? He gives life by His Word, so He brings forth death by His Word. Remember, depart from Him. All you have to say, depart from Him into everlasting fire. And you just speak the word, you go there, you burn, you're finished off. There will not be a suffering forever and ever as people who believe in eternal hellfire as being eternal forever and ever. It is not. Eternal means age ending and life cease, but there's no life. Only you have eternal life when you are in the life of God. That's where you have life. Alright, so much for that you also know now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace, Lord. Blessed be thy holy name. And Father, we thank you for giving us understanding, Lord, according to your word. We know there's so much confusion in the world today, so much confusion around the people who believe the word of God, the Bible, and we understand, Father, Lord, through all the ages of time, how that you have been dealing with men, with your people, from age to age, and Lord, it's almost 2,000 years now. And you have called us to come back to the very original truth and help us to understand your word, that you are feeding us and teaching us and guiding us, Lord, that we may go in thy grace and be prepared for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, we love you for all that you have done for us and all the blessing that you've given us. Through the glory of Jesus Christ, Father, whose name be blessed, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.